Blog Talk Radio.
Weather today in the greater Cincinnati area.
I love you so badly, I could.
They're solid plastic, so don't settle for imitation.
But the senator, while insisting he was not intoxicated, could not explain his nudity.
Welcome to Ringside Wrap, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on major pro wrestling and MMA promotions, the occasional history lesson, and interviews with legends of yesterday and stars of today. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Ringside Wrap.
Hello, everyone, and welcome again to Ringside Wrap here on the GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com radio network. I am Mike Sempervivi, and it is Wednesday, November 14th, 2012, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the East Coast. And as always, I'd like to welcome on Les Thatcher, the legend, right here. And Les, I cannot tell you how happy I am to be back to be doing audio again.
It's been a while, hasn't it, Michael?
It really has, and it, I guess for those who don't know, I am on the East Coast, the Maryland-Delaware line, and we lucked out in a lot of ways by not getting a direct hit of Hurricane Sandy, but unfortunately, I am so close to the water that a lot of tidal flooding happened, and fortunately, my house was okay. Not as fortunate was the store I work at, which took on about 3 to 6 inches of water, which caused major headaches, and unfortunately, made me have to miss the show last week on pretty short notice. So I'd like to apologize to everyone for that. And unfortunately, you know, the guest we were going to have on was Stephen Johnson to talk about the Heroes and Icons book from the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame series of books that he's doing. But he's actually going to be back on with us next week. So I'd like to apologize to him and to everybody else out there for the slight inconvenience caused by Mother Nature.
So we're going to just do an hour tonight. Is that the deal?
That is the deal. And in fact, at 8:30, Brutal Bob Evans will be joining us to talk about Iron Week. And, you know, there's nothing easy seemingly in professional wrestling, especially not on today's independent scene. And Bob will talk about the trials and tribulations he's been having leading into Iron Week coming up here, beginning on November 25th and ending on December 1st. So, yeah, we're looking to do about 9:15 tonight for everybody.
Oh, isn't it fun? What?
If you're thinking it's fun, then you probably didn't see the pay-per-view on Sunday, which I didn't either. And, you know, I haven't seen TNA in about a month, and I'm not even kidding. I just haven't had the chance to see it. I'm going to start again, a fresh start here now that the pay-per-view's over on this coming Thursday, so see what happens there. But have seen Raw, which, well, we're a week away from the Survivor Series, I guess. And I don't know, what have your thoughts been in the last 2 weeks here?
Well, Vic and I, obviously the pay-per-view, we forgot that we usually do the pay-per-view prediction game, and we even forgot to do it. I mean, it wasn't a big deal. I heard that it was a pretty decent show. The whole ladder match thing, I'm not into that necessarily. And their aces and eights thing, and then Jesse and Tara and ODB is just god-awful. And I guess they're teasing something with Hogan's daughter and Bully Ray, which I can't wait for that to get exciting.
Hopefully there's no video involved.
Oh, well, whatever. You know, it's the big controversy Monday night. It wasn't my favorite segment by any stretch of the imagination. I've seen some pretty cheesy stuff in my time, so nothing shocks me. It obviously was a desperation thing. I say that, and it seemed that way. But I thought the part that really went too far over the line was Paulie faking the heart attack. I thought that was – but you know what? They even I don't know if you noticed the flaw in the production of that or not.
He made
the X sign and nobody showed up. So all that says is that everybody was in on it. It was a joke anyway.
Yeah.
See, I would have had the EMTs come down and Paulie if I were going to do this, and which. I wouldn't have, but if I were going to, I'd have had the those guys come down and have Paulie jump up and say, I just want to check your response time. Good job, guys. You know, or something. Or the other thing, you know, I knew something was going to happen because if I were producing this particular segment, I wouldn't want to be showing Jerry being rushed to the hospital and given artificial respiration. It would be a happy time. He's coming back, you know. I wouldn't even have thought of running the ambulance footage and stuff. But when they did, I said, something's going on here. I'm not sure what, but something. And sure enough, it did. You know, or even if they'd waited, Mike, till next week, it would have taken some of the edge off of that thing. It wasn't a good segment. It was tacky. Again, I've seen so much of my time. I'm not shocked by it, but
I agree. It wasn't as much as because I mean you remember with Jerry with his mother and there. It's not that even that they poked at it. It was the fact that I have more trouble with the fact that they showed. All of the footage that happened when the heart attack, and I know that there are some people who are going, they legitimately were like, wow, you know, if it wasn't for the fast response, you get a chance to really know, you know, how close he was to dying, and you see that, and it, part of it's amazing. With that said, it's just because they've run the Lex Luger 911 tape with Elizabeth years ago on Confidential. And the fact that they do things like that, I found that actually more troubling even than Paul Heyman. Although with Paul Heyman, I don't know. I think if you're going to do it in this day and age, it would have almost been more cartoony, you know, with CM Punk playing it up really just to be a jerk to Lawler than to do it in the way that they did it. I
just would have rather seen him come back clean, you know, without any controversy. And like I say, if they had to get some sort of heat off this to whatever value it actually was, you know, they could have done that next week. You know, it would have tempered it to a certain degree as well, I think. But, it was just, wow, it just really wasn't necessary. And the whole AJ, Vicky thing is just being drug on and on, and it's so weak and bad.
It's ludicrous. It's there's two logic-defying things. You know, one is, to me, Wade Barrett, you know, Paul. Does Paul E. still owe him a favor? That's number one. And then number two, why is Vicky dragging this out? There's so many logic gaps, and I know that they're playing to that. They're playing to the women and things like that. And, yeah, I guess you can do that, but the story's also got to make sense, and this doesn't even make any sense.
No.
It blatantly doesn't make any sense. It's like...
You know, you're going to find out that she was going into somebody, some girl's room or something, and he was just hanging a sign out of his... There were two different rooms, which showing it from two different angles, you're assuming that it must. But nobody ever, you know, they would say, well, you know, John Cena was registered to room 407, and you went into room 407. I mean, they didn't even think that far ahead. You know, it's just silly. I don't know. It's just.
And that's going to reflect, and it's going to reflect in what this buy rate is coming up. And, you know, they'll be upset about it, and they'll, well, it's got to be because it's the Survivor Series. And, you know, it's funny because everybody's kind of looking forward to Royal Rumble already and The Rock, and then with WrestleMania, and obviously with the tickets going on sale, it's going to be a major thing. And I guess talking to Mick Foley possibly being in the Hall of Fame and things like that, it's going to be huge. But, you know, it's such a blessing and a curse because they can live the entire year off the 4 months or the 3 months between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. The problem is that's the only time they turn it on, and then we're stuck with 9 months of programming that is, you know, it's relatively painful, and it's just, you know, it's such a false sense of security. But it's almost, you know, when they're so lazy with these angles, and they are all the time, it's like they don't give you a reason to watch. I mean, the show, it's amazing how the show falls in viewership as the thing goes on. It doesn't get that bump at the end really anymore. And it's amazing. And at some point it's going to catch up. And I guess I don't know if it ever will, just because WrestleMania makes so much and they could bank off of that for the whole year.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, I see they're trying to patch some stuff together. Like, you know, Gabriel and that crew, they're trying to give them some teeth. And, you know, the three-man band is just bad. I mean, all of a sudden, Jinder Mahal and the Scotsman, all of a sudden, are musicians. And how many musicians or singers that can't play or sing, and they seem to be the only people that realize that, I mean, that's been done to death, too, for Christ's sake. I mean, and there's no transition to this thing. It's just one day they're the three-man band. Okay. And then we do a rock and roll interview, and Jinder Mahal is the party guy or something. And it's just it was so stupid. And again, ill-conceived and just thrown together. And, like, somebody must care, I guess, but I can't imagine who it is. It's just, I don't know.
So not exactly looking forward to the debut of Fandango, I guess.
I can't even imagine.
That's, yeah. And he's one of those guys, too. And I tell you, I don't think this is going to be something. In fact, I know it's not going to be something that has got life or legs to it. You know,
who
longer
is Fandango?
It's Johnny Curtis. And that's my thing. All those guys that they have in FCW, you know, Tyler Blacks and the Dean Ambroses and Ricky Steamboat Jr. And, I mean, just, you know, on and on and on. And that's not even counting McGillicuddy and DiBiase and guys like that. You know, he's the last of that era of guys that just, I could not, I'm not saying I couldn't stand, but that your Skip Sheffields and the guys who didn't come up through ROH and didn't come up through working and trying to get as good as they can and spread their wings. You know, it's like, of all the guys, you bring up him, and, I don't know. It is what it is, I guess. But it's like, you know, it's not going to last for too long, and I guess that's going to be the plus. It'll be gone very quickly, I think.
Yeah, I just, well, again, you're if the guy is any good, who knows? He's just a... you know, he's a character. They're going to establish that initially anyway, to make the characterization more important than his lack of or excelling talent in the ring. You know, so again, you know, they're putting the cart before the horse, as it were. And I don't see the value. Honestly, don't.
No, bump it up to break here, where, you know, we get back. I want to. I don't think we've had a chance to do this. I'm not sure if the guys, if Jerry, Mike, and Bobby have had a chance to do it yet. But Rich rolled out the GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com Hall of Fame, as well as the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame came out as well. So actually, we might as well go to break here. When we come back, we'll talk about that. And then later on, Bob Evans is going to be on too. So stay tuned.
Wrestling fans, Anarchy Wrestling television tapings are the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at 4236 Level Grove Road in Cornelia, Georgia. For more information on Anarchy Wrestling and on the shows to watch the television product and a whole lot more, go to anarchy-wrestling.net. That's Anarchy Wrestling, the second and fourth Saturdays of every month in Cornelia, Georgia.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Whether you're having an autograph session, personal appearance, or live event, we got just the person you need to contact for all of those needs. SBI Bookings is home of some of the best stars in the wrestling industry today. They provide you with the best talent this business has to offer, from Kevin Nash, Larry Zbysko, Scott Steiner, and many, many more. So who will you contact next time you're planning an event? The men of SBI Bookings. Check them out at sbibookings.com.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Red Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? What happened in Columbus on my birthday? Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Back when I was a kid, life was going swell. Till something happened, blew everything to hell. That night my daddy stumbled in, all pale and weak. Said a woman up the block just gave birth to a geek. Mom said, sell it to the circus. What the heck? Dad said, nope, this one's a pencil neck. And if there's one thing lower than a sideshow freak, it's a gritty, scum-sucking pencil neck geek.
All right, we're back here on Ringside Rap. The legendary Last Thatcher, along with me, Mike Sempervivi, and
wow, Rich is smoking some good stuff tonight, isn't he?
You know, I guess it's a good transition. You know, Freddie Blassie is in the Georgia Wrestling History Hall of Fame, as well as the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. But yes, producer Rich Chase channeling Dr. Demento there, but. Les, did you have a chance to see the rundown of who went to the Georgia Hall of Fame this year?
I did not. I'm sorry. I have been going crazy with a bunch of stuff this week, but no, I did not get an opportunity.
Oh, I'll run it down here. As a tag team, Ray Gunkel and Buddy Fuller, Nick Bockwinkle, Dick Slater, and then the Armstrong family, including Bob, Brad, Scott, and Steve. So they were the ones to get in, and you know, Gunkel and Fuller as a team, that kind of surprised me that they weren't in already, to be honest.
They were kind of, well, pioneers as far as my lifestyle anyway. Yeah, the Armstrongs, Brian's not part of that.
I think, you know, he is part of that, you know, he actually is, but, you know, I think it's more focused, you know, I think the primary focus, you know, because Bob's already in anyway, is Bob and Brad, obviously, and then, you know, Scott and Steve to a little bit of a lesser extent, just because the way the territory system and how everything changed by the time they were in.
Yeah, okay.
But one thing that Georgia Hall of Fame does do, too, is it focuses on the fact that the Armstrongs, as a family and the extended family, were able to be booked in Georgia, you know, on independent shows and things like that for, you know, for God knows how long. In fact, you know, especially in Alabama as well, where, you know, Dr. Tom talked about how, you know, just a couple weeks before Brad's death, he actually had teamed with him there in a tag team match. So that kind of plays a part in it as well.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And who else now?
Dick Slater and Nick Bockwinkel. Now, Slater's career in Georgia, you know, pretty much far predates, you know, anything I really know. And the footage isn't available from him there. I had a chance to watch him a lot. And obviously throughout the 80s and every territory he had a chance to go in, including the WWF for a very unfortunate short period of time. And then also Nick Bockwinkel, who I kind of surprised me he wasn't in already, too. But I think very deserving as well, I would assume.
Yeah, Bach was a wrestling heel. He was, I won't say an oddity, but, you know, he went about it in a little different style or manner than most guys and was, you know, he pulled it off and did well with it. Yeah, very good. Slater was a hell of a worker. Hell of a hand. I identified Dickie Moore there with when he and Orton Jr. were tag team, but that doesn't matter. But I mean, Dickie was hell of a hand either way. Plus, he could do Terry Funk better than Terry Funk. I mean, he could do. I had him do a voiceover for me doing Funk, and nobody to this day knew the difference. Really, I did. Terry was shipping in a promo tape. He had a match for us in Knoxville. I remember with Ron Thor, with somebody, doesn't matter. And Mac had gone out to the airport, Delta Dash, to pick it up. There was no tape, and it got lost somewhere. And so we had nothing to fill it with, and I just came up. I said, Slater here in the studio yet? Yeah, he's here. Get him for me. And we took some action footage of Terry, and I told Dickie what I needed on the promo, and he laid down the voice track, and we put it together, and nobody knew the difference. True?
Seeing him in Mid-Atlantic, especially, I think that's where he first really, I had first seen him, and then, you know, saw him in Mid-South and in places like that. He was, what was it with him as far as, you know, being a baby face, because I saw that very little bit, you know, with Dusty Rhodes, but for the most part, I always, you know, almost always saw him as a heel, and he was so believable because he seemed like a guy who could kill you, and probably
he was a
would.
Good baby face. He was our Southeastern champion for a while in Knoxville.
Well, was it like an everyman thing with him, as far as the fans getting behind him? Because he just seemed to be so easy to hate. It's like, how did they, you know, how did
it
they
was,
react?
He got over well. In fact, the last big match that we had there, I say we, when was Thanksgiving, would have been, Christ, 78 or 9, I don't remember, honestly, Mike. But anyway, it was he and Harley for the title, and business had been down because of the war, but we drew well that night, Thanksgiving night.
And the Observer Hall of Fame, that I'm not sure if you had a chance to see that one, but for those who are unaware, I'll run the inductees there this year. Mick McManus, longtime World of Sport over in the UK, probably, I think we talked about Adrian Street with him a little bit when he was on. To me, Ken Walton, the announcer, deserved to go in first, and then after that, you know, Mick McManus, you know, a lot of people always talk about Big Daddy, but realistically, McManus was the biggest British star over there for an extremely long period of time, including at the advent of TV, which, you know, is very important. Dr. Alfonso Morales, who's the announcer for CMLL, a longtime boxing expert and wrestling expert, and really a institution on Galavision in Mexico. He's in as well. John Cena got in. Captain Lou Albano got in, which I guess shouldn't surprise me, although I think there were other managers I would have put in first. Hans Schmidt finally makes it in as well as Gus Sonnenberg, who got in with like kind of a veterans committee vote, and I'm not real sure I like that one for the most part for a variety of reasons, but they were the ones who got in this year, and I know for you, I think Hans Schmidt is a guy you've talked about who probably should have been in already.
Yeah, Schmidt. Schmidt was a big heel. You know, the whole German thing. He was strong, and he was when TV was red hot nationwide. You know, he was on a lot of the television and stuff too. Yeah, Hans was really over. You know, the thing that it doesn't bother me. It just Cena being in and still have. That to me, the Hall of Fame is for those who aren't still doing it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's not my Hall of Fame, so what I think is not relevant.
Actually, it is, because you're one of the only guys who can talk about a lot of the guys, you know, in the Hall of Fame. I know in a couple minutes we're going to have Bob on. You know, Gus Sonnenberg, and this is way before, you know, everybody's time here for the most part, but, you know, a football star who was in the middle of plenty of feuds over the direction of what was, quote-unquote, the World Heavyweight Championship, and... You know, the stories of him with Ed Lewis and the guy in Los Angeles, the middleweight wrestler who beat him up, I'm not sure with Enrique Torres and plenty of other guys being out that Gus Sonnenberg would have been the one I would have necessarily put in. Coming up and watching in that, in the dawn of the TV era and the Schmitz and the Ganyas and the Fezzes and that, what did you ever hear about Sonnenberg? Because there have been a lot of great football players, obviously, that have come into the sport.
He was the guy that kind of opened that door for Nagurski and that crew of guys. Because of his being a star in football, made him a star in wrestling, but he wasn't a great shooter, so they had to protect him. So his range in terms of, you know, how many different guys he could wrestle was limited because Paul Bowser, who was based in Boston, is the one that got him the belt. And Bowser had to be careful who he put him with. And I think, as I recall, they sent his own referee with him on the road to be sure they got a good count and everything. So, yeah, so it was... I guess maybe one of the first working champions that actually wasn't a shooter wouldn't be able to take care of himself was a big fear, and that somebody might double cross him and take the belt that was his run wasn't that long, I assume, because of all the pitfalls.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, another one of those guys, he was here in Nagurski, didn't like the sport, but it was a way to make money and things like that. And Sonnenberger, you know, was the same way, realistically. And no, we're also up against break here, but I know you probably didn't get a chance to cross paths with Lou Albano much, you know, during your active careers. But what were your thoughts about Albano as a manager? I know people in the Northeast are obviously very loyal to him. I came along a little bit later when he was more of a cartoon.
Other than what I saw, in the early WWF era, I met Lou, but I never got the opportunity to work with Lou when he was one of the Sicilians. I worked with Tony Altimore after they broke up. I worked with Altimore several times in the Carolinas. But anyway. I think, you know, there were a bunch of managers out of that up in New York anyway. But yeah, I think that as they go, he fits. The voting is just, I know some of those guys that their whatever percentage was last year. The percentage dropped this year for some reason. Somebody didn't vote for him. I don't know how those trends work, or have no idea why.
I wonder about that too. With it, that's the problem having a guy like John Cena on there. Is you go, well, you know, if you look at it from the start to now, you can consider him a no-brainer, but it knocks off somebody who is probably more deserving, especially because Cena's story isn't finished being told yet. But the guy who needs to come on and tell stories here momentarily is Brutal Bob Evans. So we'll go to break now. We'll be right back with Brutal Bob talking about Iron Week. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Joe Elliott from Def Leppard for Rad. Planning on going out and having a party? Great. Have a lot of fun. But do me a big favor and don't blow it. Always choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives. You should too.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Packers.
Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Williams. There's so many things kids have to be good at these days. It's hard to stop and think about how something like learning music can help them in the future. Music helps kids because it's a performing art, and children need to learn to perform well so they can succeed in society. Getting an 85% on a math test is pretty good, but hitting 85% of the right notes during a concert isn't good enough for most music students or their teachers. A special kind of practice and preparation goes into the discipline of performing music, and it helps kids develop habits that will allow them to perform better in all areas of their lives.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This week's episode, Trouble on Rock Hill.
Ain't nothing like running up and down Rock Hill. Hey, let's move this rock. Whoa! Sassy, Johnny's stuck under that rock. Yeah, girl, go tell Mr. Gunderson to bring his truck. You'll tell him, but only after you dispel a stereotype associated with shelter pets? People think shelter pets come with lots of initial veterinary costs?
It's dusty under here.
But in reality, most shelter pets have been vaccinated, neutered, and microchipped in case they get lost.
My pants ripped.
Sassy, Johnny needs help. What Johnny really needs is more discipline and better parental supervision. You use big words, Sassy.
Still under the rock.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
I'm Kurt Hennig
and Big Scott Hall. And tag team champs, we'll take on them all.
So bring on the long riders, those dirt ball dumbos.
We'll smear those whips,
use the rest of Rock Rumble.
Oh my Lord. Welcome back to Ringside Rap. The legendary Les Thatcher along with me, Mike Tempervie. That's the Wrestle Rock Rumble. My God. Brutal Bob Evans joins us now to talk about Iron Week here coming up. Brutal Bob, did you have any intentions on doing a Great Gagne's Rap from that to set up the Iron Week?
No, I just remember I'm Kurt Hennig and Big Scott Hall, and then them walking out of the pool in a very suggestive manner. I do remember that. So I figured that was Les's idea, but who knows? He said he
wasn't
up.
You're just suggestive, just being there. It's just you have that omnipresence. What can I say?
I do. What's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
We're good.
Are we getting back to normal after all our storms of the century, 1, 2, and 3, or 5, or whatever we're up to now?
I'm trying, although I listened back to a little bit of myself on the audio nightmare, and then also this week on the Observer Live, and I'm sure I just would like to apologize to everyone. Hopefully I'll be back in the groove by next week's round of shows here.
Well, who can blame anyone? I mean, we were pretty fortunate here in my neck of the woods in southeastern Massachusetts. We got a little bit of rain, a little bit of wind, but our friends a little bit south of us, and I know you guys even more south got it a little bit worse. So we kind of dodged the bullet a little bit, and we did have some damage, some power outages and stuff, but nothing like our friends in New York, and like I said, further south down your way, Mike. So, always hopefully everybody will get back to 100% pretty soon. I know everybody's kind of rebounding back, so hopefully we'll have a relatively normal winter and keep all these crazy storms out of here. So
that I could live with. Now. You have had your, there's nothing easy in the world of professional wrestling, especially the independent scene, and especially now.
Speaking of Stormy.
So where are we at here? Because I know you had posted up on Facebook a couple weeks ago about some issues with the guys doing the cameras and everything, and obviously at the injury to Mike Mondo, which led to Antonio Thomas stepping in, I believe, for him. And how's everything looking right now, and how are you feeling leading into this thing?
Oh, I feel just fine. It's been a little bit more rocky road than I would expect, which ended up changing this into a glorious week ending with a triumphant match at the end in my hometown in front of all my friends and family and hopefully some wrestling fans at my high school to just basically, and I'm not downplaying it at all, but now it's just more of a, not necessarily a private ceremony, but it'll be just more of a personal endeavor. And that's fine because the 2009 one was kind of a personal endeavor too. It didn't end up being a big crazy thing, which is fine. I mean, the point is to do it and everybody get something out of it and prove that I have more value in professional wrestling than a lot of people think I do. So, and prove something to myself, and the guys prove something to themselves. Because, unfortunately, my high school, which was going to have the fundraiser at the end of the week on December 1st, the final show, unfortunately, they had to call me back and say that since they had new gym floors installed and the fact that they had a lot going on that weekend, that they couldn't hold the event. So, and then we were too late to try to get the junior high school gym down the street. So that was out. And then, like you said, the broken leg to Mondo knocked things out for a while. And also, Delirious ended up with a scheduling issue where he couldn't make it and felt very badly about it. But what are you going to do? There was some unforeseen Ring of Honor things and unforeseen personal things that kind of made it impossible for him to make that date. And things like that happened. Nothing serious. Everything's fine. But it was just a scheduling issue, but that's okay because I ended up putting in one of the guys I kind of watch over in New England, Todd Sopel, who's made incredible strides.
I wanted to ask you about him actually, because from Manchester, New Hampshire, claims Liberty States Wrestling as his home, but some of the other Carino we know, Cole we know, Redwood we know, Promise Thomas, Vinny. But Julian Starr and Sopel, the ones I really wanted to ask you about, and what can you say about Todd Sopel?
Well, Todd Sopel is a guy who, like I said, somebody I've been kind of personally mentoring over the past 3 or 4 years. Todd, about 4 years ago, was somebody that Les Thatcher wouldn't have even barely said hello to. and that would be perfectly respectful to both Les and Todd saying that, and I'm sure Todd would say that too. About 4 years ago, Todd was about 100 pounds heavier than he is now, basically a backyard guy. But when I met him, I had noticed he had a lot of passion. He just was very misdirected. And I said, as I've said to probably hundreds, and Les has probably said to probably thousands, you seem to have a lot of passion. It's in the wrong direction. I'd love to help you. Here's my number, my email. Please feel free to contact me. And Todd is one of the few people that I can probably count on one hand that actually did. And so, I mean, not that I'm a perfect diet and nutritionist thing, but that was the first thing I said. I said, you'll never get looked at by anyone unless you do something with your body. And he's made vast improvements. There's still a ways to go, but he's made an incredible improvement in that. And his work has actually improved probably the fastest, because I think he had such a passion for this that once he really got directed and been put on the right track, he really has responded very well. I mean, he was at the last the Little Les Thatcher seminar we had about a year and a half, 2 years ago up here. And then he's been to a couple of the Ring of Honor ones and, you know, tries to go out and get as much advice as he can and work as much as he can, too. So Todd's really made leaps and bounds. So he was one of the guys that was in my final top 10. So, and as much as I loved Delirious and wanted to keep him in the mix, it was a little bit of a drop in national name value, but it was nice to tell Todd that, hey, you know, due to unforeseen circumstances, you're in the mix now, pal. So, and someone I feel very comfortable wrestling, and someone who I think will get a lot out of this. And you know, I'm real proud of the guy and all the strides he's made. And Julian Starr is someone who I think is going to be, with the right breaks and the right you know, the right mix of talent around him and all that thing, is somebody I think could really break out and become a big contributor in wrestling. He's the only thing that's really going to might affect him is that he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's not tiny either. So, you know, a Brian Fury trainee up in from you know, upstate Massachusetts, and kind of a cocky kid, but it plays into his talent. You know, really talented, good physique. Can do just about anything in the ring, very physically gifted, and promos have come a long way. That used to be a big weakness. Now it's actually, he's above average at it now. And another guy who I saw at about 17 or 18, and he's in his early 20s now, and I said, this guy's got, you know, success written all over him if we can kind of help him. And I have not trained him, but I've tried to direct him as best I could. So, and he's done a lot of extra. He's done some extra work. He did the last Ring of Honor camp, and they liked him. And so he's kind of on the wheel there as far as, you know, maybe using him around here if something pops up for Ring of Honor. So, you know, just another guy I just really want to wrestle, because I don't get a chance to wrestle a lot of the guys around here for 10 minutes, never mind an hour. So, but that's pretty much where that goes. So,
your reputation for being stiff precedes you. You know that.
Well, stiff in the ring and stiff out of the ring, too, because then they ask my opinion and I have to give it to them. I'm like you, Les. You know, I try to be delicate and polite, but sometimes you have to be honest. So, you know.
Let me ask you a question. I don't know why I missed it. What, Mondo broke his leg? How did this happen?
Mondo broke his leg against Bennett up in the last Ring of Honor pay-per-view in Canada.
Okay.
There was I guess they did a spot where there was going to be, of course, it was something out on the floor, right? So we can all shake our head at that. But he ended up, I think, getting his toe caught in the mat, and you know how that goes. And the body went one way, and the foot went another. And
oof, wow.
Yeah, and he's still, I know he has the cast on it, and I'm pretty sure that it's supposed to come off fairly soon, but I know there's going to be quite a bit of rehab. It was actually a little bit better than expected because of the first diagnosis he got was going to be over a year. And I think this new diagnosis is a little bit better, because the first one was going to be pins and screws and this and that. But then he went to a sports medicine specialist, and the guy said, yeah, well, we're going to cast it up and physical rehab and all that stuff. So it was kind of a blow to him because the guy had really built up a lot of momentum, and he was actually one of the guys in Ring of Honor that was getting over, kind of not on his own, obviously. Nobody does it on their own, but kind of a guy who came from nowhere. So
yeah.
He was doing real well for himself. So it's kind of a blow, and like I said, I have a lot of respect for him, and I think you felt how he did for me when he called in. I mean, you know, through all the feuds in Ring of Honor, we, you know, behind the curtains, we actually get along pretty well. So
yeah, and who's taking his place, Bob?
Antonio Thomas, the Promise.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
he can wrestle his ass off.
Oh, well, the only reason Tom wasn't in it before was because he was supposed to be in a tour of Italy for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he and I stay in touch.
Right.
Too. Yeah,
right.
I know. He went over and then he had to come back, didn't he?
Yeah, that ended up getting cut short, and then he said, hey, if you have a spot open, and I said, well, I don't, but, you know, and Tom and I are longtime friends, you know, and he missed the one. He was supposed to be in the one 3 years ago, but he had suffered a couple of concussions within a week of each other, and I said, this is probably not a good idea.
Yeah,
so,
he had sent me a tape, a link to his, with one of the kids that he's mentoring, and
probably Sean Burke, the big blonde kid.
Big kid, but I can't remember the name.
Yeah, probably.
I've got anyway, you know. And then I got to watch, and I thought, Jesus, because you know I just seen Antonio with a gimmick in WWE.
Oh, he's come a long way, yeah.
And but I mean, I watched, you know, they were the chain wrestling and stuff. I thought, damn, okay, I'm liking every bit of this, and he's in great shape too, and everything. So.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
I
was saying, I saw, yeah, it sounded like there was a buzz there, but I saw that he's actually, did he actually get a job in Italy, or at least part-time in Italy?
He was going to train some people over there.
Yeah, he was going to train some people for about, I think it was going to be near 2 months, and then I really don't know what happened. I guess it fell through, or the shortened up, or whatnot, so.
He had to come home for some reason, I forget what it was, but yeah, he was supposed to be there, I think, almost till the first of the year.
Right, yeah, I know he was going to be there for a while because that was one of the reasons why he couldn't do it initially. And I said, oh, gee, that's you know, because Tom and I were real close, and then we haven't really, you know, seen much of each other, and then just started kind of hanging out again just because he had hurt himself. And you know how it is, you float in, you float out. And but I know he runs a nice little operation, nice little school there in the Springfield, Mass area in the western part of the state, and he's you know, just, you know, think the world of the guy, and then he's still, you know, he's come so far. Here's a guy that, like you said, he had to kind of shake that, you know, shake the heartthrob thing off, and, you know, I never really thought he got a fair shake there, and then kind of had to reinvent himself, and I think probably hit his stride maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and then mostly injuries and you know, concussions and injuries and things like that, so he's finally kind of stayed fairly healthy and now getting back into the swing of things, so
yeah,
you know,
cool.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, so
well, so who do you start match with on the 25th is the first day.
Yeah, we start with Steve Corino at the Ring of Honor Wrestling School. Time to be determined. So, and but that was crazy too because at the last TV taping, Steve almost crushed all his ribs. So I was like, maybe
I'm
the curse.
I heard about that. I said, tell Steve that. Maybe if he'd learned to work, he wouldn't have to do that.
the thing is, I wrestled Steve, and we stayed in the ring for 20 minutes last year at a match in Worcester, and it was great, which is one of the reasons why I asked him. I joke with him all the time. I was like, you're way too old to be doing this. I said, you should be keeping it in the ring. I said, once you learn how to work, you're not supposed to do that stuff anymore, buddy, you know. But
really?
You know, you know, he's always the crowd pleaser, I guess. So he takes the risk and takes a real bad bump and smashes his, you know, and it was scary. I mean, I haven't seen something look that dangerous, and then, you know, thank God it turned out to be just like really badly bruised ribs, and he said he wasn't going to miss any time. So
yeah.
That was good because I was like, you know, I mean, Steve's doing good for himself. I mean, he's got a, you know, he's doing well outside of wrestling. He's got a good personal life going. He's got a nice girl in his life now. I mean, you know, Colby's getting older, you know, and starting to wrestle more. And it's like, you know, I really want Steve to.
How old is his boy?
Know, 16 now.
Yeah.
So, but he's, I've actually wrestled around with Colby, and he's got quite a bit of ability. I mean, he's small, But his dad's a pretty good sized guy, so I think he'll grow into his body. So, but he's got a lot of potential, and he's a good kid, and he stays,
cool.
You know, he's quiet and respectful, so he's got all that down. So,
just why don't you run us down Sunday through the end? Of, I mean, each day and where and who.
Yeah, Sunday we have basically it's going to be me doing a tour of mostly wrestling schools, and I'm going to be bouncing back from Massachusetts to Ring of Honor. That's how it looks like. So, basically Sunday is Steve Corino. Monday is Todd Sopel. I don't have the schedule right in front of me. I'm sorry. You catch me on the.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm good. I can do it probably by process of elimination too. Because I know Friday, I could do Monday, and I can do Sunday and Monday, and then I know Tuesday and Wednesday. Tuesday is Julian Starr, Wednesday is Adam Cole, Thursday is Grizzly Redwood, Friday is Antonio Thomas, and Saturday is Vinny Marcellia. And the New England guys, I'll be wrestling in New England, and the Ring of Honor guys, I'll be wrestling. You know, the guys in that area, I'll be wrestling in Ring of Honor. So, So that's
all
that.
Right.
So. And we'll be putting everything on tape and putting everything out on the internet as quickly as possible. I can't say I'll be doing 24-hour turnarounds, but we'll eventually put everything out there. So I want people to see it. So it is going to be, I've been reading. Have you been? I know you're in it, Les. So have you been reading? Have you actually read the Heroes and Icons book?
I have not. I am in it. I don't know.
Yeah, you are. You're actually quoted pretty extensively in it. So.
Huh?
You're actually quoted pretty extensively in it, so.
Well, my residual check hasn't come yet, so I don't know if I'm going to sue yet or not.
Well, you should. They claim all your ideas for their own, and they take full credit for your entire career.
It's the wrestling business. Of course they do.
Of course they do. If it's a good idea, it was theirs. No, it's basically it's it just is a lot of. A lot of the talk of the NWA champions and the AW champions, a lot of talk of the world champions doing 16-minute Broadway.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it, yeah.
Right, and this is basically my a version of my homage to them, that's kind of what I'm going to do. I don't know what people are expecting the matches to be. I promise you it's not going to be boring, and we're not going to sit in headlocks for 45 minutes, but it's also not going to be... 3 minutes in, let's take it outside the ring and put each other through a wall.
I'm gonna tell you what, and I sent Adam an email too. The match he and Eddie had Saturday, on Ring of Honor was the best professional wrestling match I have seen on anybody's television in a while. Now I don't know if one of them was hurt and they had to slow it down. If that's the case, they should stay hurt. But they, there's a couple things I would have changed. But I mean, they started, they chain wrestled, they did some switches, some nice takedowns. And I thought, Jesus, if I could just get Eddie to quit turning and get it doing the whole audience, he should be a game show host.
If his promos were better, he could be a great game show host, I'm sure. But,
Yeah, but that's just distracting as hell. And it's like, oh, okay, my opponent's such a piece of crap that I don't need to spend much time with him anyway. But they had a good match, I thought, a very good match.
Yeah, I think Eddie Edwards, like you said, with a few tweaks, I think could really kind of turn it on and have a great second stage of his career. I mean, the first 10 years have been good. I can, if he really, I think, concentrated and worked on a couple of weaknesses, which I say respectfully, I think he could really turn it on. And Adam, you know how I feel about Adam. I feel the same way about Adam that you do. So,
Yeah.
Let's get this kid ready, put a rocket up his ass, and send him out because he's going
to make it. Well, Bob, people are really looking forward to that one. That match sticks out for them because they were so surprised by the match you guys had on the iPay-per-view. So people have their eyes towards that, but I've kind of had mine towards more Grizzly Redwood, who, because of his size and because of, the gimmick he came in with, I think unless people have actually seen him and really seen him live, I think helps out too. They don't realize... how good he has gotten, and this is the one where obviously for Sopel and Starr, it's going to see where they, with their stamina and how they are and everything. And Corino, there's a story in each one of these things, but what is the story for Grizzly Redwood in this? Because I think he is a guy that could be utilized more in Ring of Honor, and where, how far has he come along? Because
you know, has Grizzly gone 60 before?
Well, I picked Grizzly for the reason that Grizzly is one of my heroes in wrestling in and out of it, because here's a guy who, and I didn't know this until probably a year ago, a year and a half ago. Here's somebody who was actually supposed to be passed away when he was a baby. He had he had several throat operations, and here's a guy who was actually not supposed to survive, and to do that, and at his size, be in the shape he is, and really come as far as he has and have a great attitude 99% of the time. None of us have it 100% of the time. And just to see, you know, I wrestled him in one of my first matches in Ring of Honor a couple of years ago up here, and I really like the guy. I think he has a lot to offer. And then I've actually seen him actually go about 15 or 20 minutes with somebody just working out at one of the seminars during downtime. They just grabbed the ring and they'll just wrestle for a while, and the guy's really got something, you know. And I agree with you. I think more is going to be done with him, just because I think it should be. Here's a guy who's different. He's small. He's very small. But here's somebody who can make a contribution and be a different guy, and he can work. You know, let's put the workers in the ring. You know, we know what Ring of Honor's weaknesses are. The same weaknesses that WWE and TNA have. You know, let's put some different guys in there and see what happens. I'm not saying replace the roster, but, you know, adding a couple of spices to the soup sometimes makes the soup taste better. You know, but that's my thing with Grizzly. I want it to be a challenge for him and me, and like I said, I just have so much personal and professional admiration for the guy. I really wanted to see if we could do with that. So,
Mike, have you left us, or?
No,
he's passed out.
Or Bob had you mesmerized.
My beautiful words put him in a trance.
Sorry, they did a little bit. I had to turn off the problem with the iPhone that was coming through. I forgot to turn it off, and it just killed my
he's
right eardrum.
He's a wordsmith. Oh, whatever. What are you doing in the way of a different type of training? Get ready for this there, Robert.
Actually, my training has been fairly consistent. I've just been working out at the gym I've been working out regularly that saved my career for about the past 2.5 years, 212 Health and Performance. A lot of functional training, compound exercises. I have a pretty good mix of trainers, which is good. You know, they're either doing very well for themselves in track or football or wrestling or a little bit of both, so a little bit of all three. So it's a lot of kettlebell work, a lot of functionality, a lot of free weights, a lot of rope work, a lot of, you know, the TRX type training. So a lot of core stuff, just as much as I can get in, and of course a lot of stamina stuff too.
You run a lot of my drills in the ring?
Of course. Five, brother.
Cardio, baby, cardio.
I was one of the guys that hadn't done that drill in about 8 years, and I hung in there and I got it done. So I don't want to hear it for any of these other guys who are half my age and can't get it done too. So
I heard that.
I got it done. I struggled at the end, but I got it done. So
hey, Bob, what was the worst training? Because, you know, by your own admission, you know, it took you a long time to really realize what you had to do to really be in shape. What was the one exercise or routine, though, that you just, it just killed you? You know, what was it where it was just like, okay, you had to do it, but, God, you wanted to kill yourself?
Well, that's, when I did one-on-ones, when I started at 212 and I had to do one-on-ones, and I don't like one-on-ones because it's just way too much concentrating on the time of this 55 or 60-minute session. I like group classes because it's just a little bit, time seems to go by a little faster. But when you're just learning a new way to work out, it's very humbling to try to figure out all that stuff and then not to look like a boob at the same time. So and of course it was very challenging. It's still very challenging, but it's a different kind of challenging now, because now you kind of got all the movements down and you know how to move the kettlebell and you know how to move all the free weights, you know, in a different way and do all the different exercises and stuff. So it's, you know, and box jumps and jump squats and jumping rope and, you know, resistance bands and all this stuff I had never really done. And all of a sudden you're doing it quite a bit. So, and of course, then you turn and you see a 79-year-old man doing it who couldn't lift 30 pounds 2 years ago, and now he's doing 200-pound deadlifts, and you know he's encouraging you, and nobody, you know, nobody laughs, nobody judges. It's, you know, it's cool, but it's also a hard ass workout too. I think Les would really dig it if he saw it. So I'm hoping one of these days I'll invite him up to take a look and check out a class. But it's I like it a lot. I mean, the gym I'm in is very motivational, and probably had about 15 or 20 people from the gym go to the last Boiling Point show, which is actually the match I sent you last, the one I mailed you. So
okay, cool,
to check out. So, but it's yeah, that's, I mean, just the biggest thing for me always was Mike and Les was consistency, and I'm sure Les stresses that with everybody. It's just, you know, if you do it 2 days 1 week and 5 days the next week and skip 2 weeks and then try to do it again, it just doesn't work. You know, no. You have to keep it as consistent as possible. So I've been keeping in that 5 or 6 day range with doing something productive every day, and it's definitely helped me. You know, I mean, I could probably lose a couple more pounds, but as far as being cardiovascular and strength, I mean, best I've ever been. So, you know, I'm really hoping it benefits me. You know,
if nothing else, you're healthier, right? I mean,
absolutely. I don't sound it today because I have a cold, but I'm much healthier. And one of the great compliments I got was my friend Ricky Vasquez, who does production work for the Red Sox, and actually got me on the field. He quit this year to go to Arizona, but he said, "Oh, I want to see you come down," and he gave me a big hug, and he's like, "Man, I actually feel like muscle on you, and you feel all muscly, you know." And here's a guy who hadn't seen me in a couple of years, so I was like, "Yeah, hey, I'm doing pretty good for myself."
Well, good.
If people notice it that way. So just those weird little comments and that people have, so and everybody's been pretty encouraging, including you guys. So, you know, I'm very grateful for this. So I'm hoping that the Iron Week thing will be good for everybody, good for the business too. I'm gonna try to, you know, one thing I told Les privately, but I'll tell everybody publicly, is this is not some kind of thing where I'm gonna embarrass myself or wrestling. This is gonna be an ode to professional wrestling, the way I think it should be done, and hopefully other people will feel that way too. So
cool,
awesome. And it really, you know, Rich, Kate, let me beg your indulgence for a minute here, because I know we've gone to an hour. But, you know, just talking about training, this might be a stupid question, but just throwing it out there, Les, especially because you were in incredible shape. The Iron Sheik, the Persian clubs that he had, as far as incorporating that into a training routine, as far as, because obviously you need an incredible core to do it. Because of the way the motion is that something people should think about incorporating into, you know, if they were really getting into doing things like that and lifting and things like that? Is that something they should incorporate, or is it too risky to their tendons and things like that because of the way they
have? There's a lot of that to do with balance. When I had him on tour with the Georgia WCW tours we did up here back in the early 80s, we had a $10,000 challenge out on anybody that could, you know, could do those properly the way he did, you know, with the bottom of the bell straight up, right? And part of that's about balance and just the art of doing it, because we were up in Michigan and there were three big Michigan State linemen. I mean, I'm talking about guys that are, you know, 300 pounds or more. I think, Jesus, boy, I'm going to be writing somebody a check here tonight. And nobody can do it. I mean, I've never seen anybody even get close. A lot of that's just balance. Those were 80 pounders. You can use smaller. Bob was mentioning kettlebells. You ever try the figure eights between your legs and doing squats and swinging them out to the? You know what I'm talking about, Bob?
Absolutely, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a cool. But that's a lot to do with balance too, Mike. And, you know, the kettlebells, it's actually, those have been around long. Hell, they're older than I am. But they've just, you know, come back into vogue again. But kettlebell, you know, it's a lot of stuff that the gym that I work out in has got air equipment, Kaiser, where you can be in the middle of a rep and you can lighten or increase the load without even stopping. That's a machine that I really like. It's you can do drop sets in either direction, like on a preacher curl. You can start curling with a and then like do two reps and add resistance. Do two more and add more resistance too. You can only do one or half of one. Then start releasing, letting the air out and releasing the resistance and going back down. And it's just different types of exercise. But, those Indian clubs, that's part of that's I've only seen a couple people ever be able to do those damn things.
No, we actually use Indian clubs to work out, but they're small. They're not big, and I have a couple in my bag that I use to loosen up my shoulders, because my shoulders aren't that great, and it's real good to warm up with. And everybody laughs at me and calls me the Iron Sheik when I do it, but it is a lot. I agree with Les. It's a lot of technique. Kettlebells are the same way. I mean, first thing you have to learn with kettlebells is you don't lift kettlebells. You move kettlebells. And that's part of the whole thing. Like, it's moving weights, not lifting weights. And a lot of people try to lift kettlebells, and that's why a lot of the form is bad, because you have to learn how to use your back and your legs to do most of the work. Your arms and your arms and your hands are pretty much a vessel just to carry them up, while your back and your behind and your legs do all the work. So, and then the Indian clubs, like I said, it's all technique. We use small ones to warm up, and it's all technique, you know. And it's just as clumsy using the 4-pound ones than is using the 80-pound ones when you first start. So, but I can imagine it's like you. But I see the technique that the Sheik used, and that was obviously something that he brought from, you know, somewhere, because it's he had incredible technique with that. That's what
they, he learned. I think he learned those in his homeland. I think they used a lot of that stuff when in their training when he was amateur wrestler and went to the Olympics and stuff.
They were Iranian clubs then. They weren't Indian clubs.
Yeah, okay. There you go. There you go.
Middle Eastern clubs, just to be fair.
Right.
I tell you what, we have more time. I want to talk to both of you guys, actually, on old-school training techniques like that, and then, you know, kind of get into it, because I just always liked things like moving the tire and a lot of that stuff more than just the gym. To me, it was more fun, and it got me more involved. But, I don't know, hopefully soon we can actually talk about that sort of stuff. But, you know, as Bob mentioned, the book is fantastic, and ECW Press needs to get one of the less stats. But the Heroes and Icons book that Steven Johnson and Greg Oliver did, part of the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame series, he's going to be on next week, and we're going to...
You know, before we bail, I better
yes,
tell
sir.
You that I won't be here next week. I'm going to be in the mountains next week doing family. And that's the day before Thanksgiving. In that house I'll be in, there won't be a quiet spot in the joint. I mean, so I'm gonna pass, and I'll be back the following week. But I'll be back Iron Week, man.
Hey Les, one quick question: Did you do that training camp like a week or two ago? Didn't you have one really recently?
Yeah, in Blue Ridge, Georgia.
How did it go?
Good. We had like 26, 27 kids.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice, that's great. Because I didn't really
some guys you were mentioning earlier. Boy, I'd like to work with you. I had a couple guys there. I'd love to get my hands on, you know, on a regular basis, but with a lot of potential. But anyway, probably never happened.
Well, it's up to them. It's up to them.
Sure,
your door is always open. You've always been gracious to me and several other guys who actually take the time to ask your advice. So, hopefully, more people will take advantage of it. So.
Plus, that reminds me, I want to see you and Kyle Matthews, Bob.
Yeah, I've heard great things about Kyle from a couple different guys. So
good guy.
I'd love to. I'd love to tie up with Kyle Matthews. Plus, Dr. Tom was one of the guys that I got the idea from. Him and Rip Rogers would wrestle their students for an hour, and that was one of the reasons I kind of helped shape Iron Week. So that's those guys have been an inspiration to me too. I listen to everything Dr. Tom says because. There's a lot of lessons in all his interviews, and, you know, I hope the guys are listening. I hope the guys are listening to you, and, you know, I know you come across negative sometimes, but you're only negative because you want it to be right. You care. You give a shit.
you know, there's a difference, too, between, you know, what somebody likes and what actually is artistically correct. It can be miles and miles apart anyway, you know. I mean, some of these goofy Class D horror movies that some people just think are tremendous will hardly ever get an Academy Award nomination, right? For artistic endeavor.
But absolutely.
you know, but that's as it is.
Absolutely. But it's one thing I wanted to mention too, and this is getting a lot of play anyway, but Mike, I'm pretty sure you've heard of it, and it hasn't been getting a lot of airplay, Lurk, a lot of in the wrestling industry, but Mark Maron, who has one of the biggest podcasts, WTF podcast, had Colt Cabana on, and they had a very interesting talk about wrestling, because Mark is a very accomplished stand-up comedian, kind of like the Les Thatcher of stand-up comedians, probably not quite as old as you, Les, but kind of, you know, has a lot of experience. No, it's a lot of experience.
Nobody's as old as I am, bud.
But kind of reinvented himself and is doing this whole talk show thing now. And he had Colt Cabana on, and they actually, he said, I didn't really get wrestling, but now, you know, and Colt and he had a real good talk, and it's kind of interesting for people who are fans of wrestling looking at it as from a different perspective. And it's actually, again, you know, a guy who doesn't know anything about wrestling kind of just learning about it and coming across in a different way. He seemed to understand it more than some of the people in our business do. So it's just something you guys might want to check out if you have a chance, but it's very refreshing to see someone who goes, I don't understand wrestling, and now I do. I get it more. And like I said, people who want to be serious in wrestling should be listening to stand-up comedians talk about, because their life is almost exactly the same as ours. It's a long drive for little money in the beginning, and hopefully you catch a break and you make it, you know. So it's and, you know, unfortunately, there are a lot of guys. I was talking to Buddy Wayne, who sends his best to you guys. I was talking to him, and he says none of his guys want to go anywhere. They don't want to drive anywhere. They don't want to go look for shows. They don't want to get better, and it's very frustrating.
But they
want to
be stars.
Wow, you must have been reading my email, because it's almost exactly what he said, word for word. And I said, Vinny Marcellia, who's one of the guys that I have a lot of respect for, got on a Ring of Honor show and got to wrestle a former world champion, Davey Richards, for 6 minutes, because he said, I'll drive 1,100 miles round trip if you put me on the show. And guess what? He got put on the show, because there wasn't a big line of guys saying that they would do that. You know, the big line of guys saying they would drive over 1,000 miles to work a TV for a Ring of Honor wasn't a super long one. So Vinny got the call, you know. So these guys, and of course there'll be plenty of guys who are jealous and say that he's, you know, kissing butt or whatever. But, you know, they could have done the same thing, and they don't make the sacrifices anymore. So I'm glad, it's good to see that a few guys here and there are still doing it. So.
All right, Robert.
Sure.
Good luck.
Yes, you guys have a fantastic Thanksgiving. Les, I hope, you know, do the best to you and your family, of course, and.
You
and Mike,
too, buddy.
Same thing to you. I hope you get everything all put back together down there, and Rich Tate, even you. So, you know, I gotta.
Yeah.
So, but it's
you eccentric
know.
Devil, you.
Yes. So you guys have a great holiday. Hopefully, I'll be in touch. Les, please get back in touch with me when you get a chance to watch that DVD.
I will, my friend, and you take care. You be safe on that week.
Absolutely. Oh, there's my music. Time to go.
All right, buddy.
See you guys later. Take care.
All right, Bob and Les. What do you got going on? Obviously, talk about Thanksgiving next week.
The following weekend after Thanksgiving. I'm in Waynesville, North Carolina, at the Smoky Mountain Arena there, Saturday and Sunday, 24th, 25th. KCThunder@gmail.com or 828-707-4548 if you're interested in joining us, and it's probably the last one I'll do this year, but I'm open to start taking bookings for next year.
Say, and if they want to do that, how does that happen?
Get in touch with me at les@epwt.com, and we can talk about times and schedules and fees and what have you.
Everybody, if you haven't had enough of me, I've had enough of me after, again, I apologize. Let me get back on the horse here. I'll be better on all these shows next week, including the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. We'll be talking about the last New Japan Eye pay-per-view that just took place. Again, another really, really good show from them and Brian Alvarez and I this coming Sunday. Wrestling Observer Live, 6 to 8 on Sunday on the Sports Byline Radio Network. Just go to WrestlingObserver.com to check out those details. And Les, safe travels next week, and hey, have a really happy Thanksgiving, Fred.
All right, same to you, my friend, and to all the listeners, and I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Good night, everybody.
for listening to the Tribcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.